charismatic, passionate, has integrity, humble, servant, inspiring, faithful, persevering, positive, flexible, driven.
This is not about theory. This is about application. This is what you're trying to be. This is who we are that call ourselves leaders.
I'm Dave Ramsey, and you're listening to the Entree Leadership Podcast.
Hello, everyone. We are back for week number three of Leaders Are Readers Month. I have in studio with me my friend Daniel Tardy. Daniel, how are you?
I am doing great, and I'm excited about this series that we're in. We're already getting a lot of good feedback from our listeners, and it's a lot of fun.
We really have. Now, we've done QBQ. We have also done Who Moved My Cheese. And Daniel, tell them what we're talking about today.
Today we're talking about what's probably one of the best books. And if I remember right, I think this is the book that's been required reading for the longest here at our company.
That is correct.
And it's a book called The Go-Getter. And this value of being a go-getter and the story behind it. That's a phrase that we hear a lot, but there's a whole story behind it in a book. And that this book is where that phrase originated.
It really is. And it is one of those books that it is truly a part of who we are. And I know it's particularly close to Dave, you know, as he had a mentor in his past that actually left this book for Dave after he passed away. And so that was Dave's first exposure to this little book, and it truly began to mean something to Dave. And I think it's where we get a lot of our phrases from in talking about chasing the blue vase. Now, Daniel, I've heard you use the phrase a lot. So tell our listeners, what does the blue vase mean?
Well, if you read the book, there's a story about this blue vase, and the blue vase was basically a test.
Yes.
And the test was this guy had to go find a blue vase, and it was almost like this mystery puzzle type of thing that was set up for him to see how dedicated he would be to find the blue vase. And it wasn't a simple task, and the things as far as the details that he had kept changing. His understanding of what the blue vase was continues to evolve, and it's just this constant pursuit of the blue vase. And ultimately what you figure out is this guy truly is a go-getter because he stopped at nothing to acquire that blue vase.
Absolutely. And I mean insurmountable odds, some things that are actually crazy. As you read the book, you'll get a chance to see it. But this is a guy that was committed, you know, and he had some physical ailments. He had lost part of his arm in the war. He had been injured in the leg, and so he had some challenges in front of him. I think in this, and Daniel, I want to hear from you kind of a couple of your big takeaways from the book. For me, it was hearing that this guy refused to be denied.
Right.
And I think that that's a quality that those of us that are focused, when we really make up our mind, we get decidedly intense on achieving the goal. And I think it's really easy to get sidetracked by obstacles, by challenges, by even by detractors, people that don't believe in you. And we can start to take that in and it'll slow us down. But for me, I like that he decided to win, and it follows him around in every aspect of his life. So for you, Daniel, what's that aspect of this book that just charges you?
Well, the principle of a go-getter, I think it's such a mandatory thing if you're going to lead and be in business. You have to be a go-getter. In fact, I would suggest probably most listeners to this podcast already are go-getters just by the nature of they're listening to something to learn how to become more and be capable of more and kind of seize the day. And so there's a lot of us that, whether it's because of our background, how our parents raised us, or whether we were in sports, that maybe we had a good coach that instilled these values at an early age of stopping at nothing, going out and choosing to fight, even though you haven't necessarily received the prize yet. And I think that's the biggest challenge, is believing this principle that if you do the work, the payoff will come. But mm-hmm. It's always a delay. It's right. Always, you're going to sow now, you're going to reap later. You're going to plant the seeds today, you're going to work the field all summer, and in the fall, then the harvest is going to come. And the go-getter mindset just believes that that principle is going to flesh out. And that's a hard thing to do in the summer when it's hot and you're working the field and you don't have the fruit in your hand to eat it yet and enjoy it. And so the discipline of seeing out on the horizon and seeing the value that's going to come to you as a result of the work that you do today really is what the go-getter is all about. The thing that I'm curious, and you probably have some insight on this, is what do you think? Because there are people that do it, there are people that don't. Why do you think some people naturally say, hey, I'm going to go make this happen and believe that the harvest is going to come? And then other people, they start doing the work, but they give up. They get tired. and they go, I'm not sure this is going to work, and they just fall back to the default.
Yeah, I think part of that comes from either, number one, you're not as committed to the goal as you thought you were, and you weren't prepared for the challenge. I think because for me, I expect obstacles now. Now, they used to catch me by surprise, okay? And it used to be one of those things that would deflate me a little bit, and I'd say, okay, man, maybe this isn't the way I'm supposed to go or this isn't supposed to happen. But now I look at it and I say, okay, if I'm moving down this road, I know something's going to come get in my way. And the first thing that's in my way is me in the mirror. I'm the first person. I am the first obstacle that I have to overcome if I'm trying to get somewhere. So I would encourage people to truly make those clear decisions. Like, don't try to do everything, but try to do those main things. What are those things that are not you're not willing to compromise on? And I think in this book, there are a few things that jump out at me. And I think it is persistence, determination, passion. And this guy in this book has a giant sense of responsibility. It's almost like he refuses. He feels like he's letting the people down that have mentored him in his life if he doesn't accomplish something. And I think that sense of responsibility, Dan, your father and your leader, the sense of responsibility will push us to go harder than we think we can.
Well, I think once you've experienced success as a result of pushing through and being persistent and taking responsibility, it does get easier to, that muscle gets stronger. And that's an exercise that over time it gets easier to do that. I'll be transparent though. The place where I get hung up and where I am tempted to throttle back and not be persistent is when there's the little voice in my head that says, hey, you're working really hard, but you might be going the wrong direction. And I get kind of paralyzed with, okay, it's not a matter of, am I committed or not? It's, am I going the direction I need to be going? I'm not sure that if I just keep really working hard in this direction, if the fruit that I'm trying to produce is actually going to come or not. So how do you get past that? How do you make sure that all of this dedication and commitment is channeled in the direction that's going to actually cause the outcomes that you desire?
Yeah. Well, I too have had that voice in the back of my head and thinking, okay, is this the right path? But then I think what you do is you back up and you say, the steps that I'm taking, even though I'm going down a path, I'm going to be smart enough and wise enough to be able to shift gears if I have to. But I'm still using those same core principles along the way that even if I change paths, I'm still going to continue to make progress. And I think that's what it goes back to, the honesty, the values, honesty, determination, passion, and responsibility. And I think those values, those are things that you can use regardless. And to me, Daniel, I think only a wise person is smart enough to shift gears to go down another path if they need to. And I think that only comes from having wise counsel, being prayerful and careful, as my grandmother used to tell me, and really being clear on where it is you want to do.
Well, let's talk the wise counsel piece of that. The guy in the book, certainly, as he's pursuing the blue vase, he doesn't do it in isolation. He's constantly referencing other people, trying to gain more insight and gain more information about the path that he's on. How dangerous is that to kind of remove yourself from that wise counsel that you're talking about? Because when we say that, I know a lot of hard charging, independent kind of spirited business people go, hey, I'm a pretty solid guy, a girl, you know, I know where I'm going, I know what I want. Why do I need to slow down and ask other people about where I'm headed?
Well, I think one of the most dangerous things we can do is to be isolated. I think when we're isolated and we're left to our own devices, even our worst ideas sound good. And so when you have wisdom, when you have people around you that have been there and done it or are smarter than you, then what you have the opportunity to do is to talk it out. And I truly think that's what Entree Leadership is. I mean, we're building a community of business like-minded people that are committed to getting better. And so there's nothing better. I mean, Dave says this all the time. Thoroughbreds want to run with thoroughbreds. And so you have to be very, very careful and intentional with your inner circle. I sent out a tweet earlier this week, and I was talking about, you know, your inner circle doesn't necessarily, it needs to be built, not just what you've attracted. So you need to make sure you're reaching out to get the right kind of people. And Dave had an incredible mentor in the Lindell gentleman that he talks about in the foreword. You know, this guy was a mentor to Dave. Dave trusted him and Dave listened to him. And so I think when you have those people around you, they push you, you know, and you do feel a sense of responsibility to those individuals because you know what? At the end of the day, you don't want to let them down.
Absolutely. Well, I love how this book, in 84 pages, it instills a value that we can use in our company all the time. If somebody is having a challenging week and they're maybe flaking out a little bit, in a nanosecond, you can say, hey, what would a go-getter do in this situation? And it just represents this ideal, this concept that, hey, no, that's who we are. We're go-getters. And so we're not going to make excuses. We're going to go get the results. We're going to stop at nothing to accomplish the task. And we just had a conversation in our team just over the last few weeks. We had some obstacles that were unforeseen. Some things came in and started impacting the results that we desired. And there is a very logical and very easy place for us to go, hey, you know, we couldn't have foreseen this, and we did the best we could with the circumstances that we had. So our results are diminished, and there's a good justification for that. It was very tempting to do that. But we stopped, and we literally said, well, what would we do if we were a go-getter in this situation? And when we didn't give ourselves that option of justifying the situation, all of a sudden we had to get more creative. We had to get more innovative. We had to think of resources and ideas that we otherwise would not have done. And so just that one little phrase for us, when we say, what would a go-getter do here? All of a sudden you think of the story of the guy, you know, spending the whole book trying to go find that vase. And it just represents that dedication and that commitment to the outcome, no matter what the specific scenarios are that play into that and the storms that we may have to weather to get to that outcome.
So let me get this right. You sat down with your team and you guys were having this discussion openly. Okay, see, that to me is the first step of a great leader, because now you're not sitting in a room by yourself trying to play like you've got it all together, but you're sitting down with the team talking about it, really looking at it. And when you were talking about that, you know, not giving yourself an excuse, I think back to one of my coaches in football, and this is a long time ago, okay, because you know I'm old now. But my coach, I came off the field and he said, Hogan, why did you miss that tackle? And I was like, Coach, well, the guy was holding me. And I couldn't get to him. And he looked at me in my eye, Daniel, on the sideline and said, an excuse is the skin of a lie wrapped with a reason. And I'm like, okay, Socrates, you know, I mean, I'm on the sideline, guy. What are we talking about? And then he would say that phrase a lot. An excuse is the skin of a lie wrapped with a reason. And so it was one of those things. He said, don't give excuses, give results. And so the next time, you know, I'm out and I missed a play, and he was asking in film session, Hogan, why did you miss that play? And it dawned on me, Coach, I didn't give the effort. I didn't try hard enough. And he said, okay, try harder next time. And it's one of those things where excuses, you're absolutely right. We will give them to ourselves and we'll accept them from other people. And so the person that is a go-getter stays focused and they say, okay, no excuses, because I either did it or I didn't. But I've got to stay focused.
Well, I love the difference in the response of your leader in that situation, your coach. When you come in, and I see this, you know, in my team, people come in, and if they have that go-getter mindset, the thing that they say is, I failed. It was my fault. Here's how we screwed it up. These were all the problems. When somebody comes in and they're taking personal responsibility like that, what that does to me is it makes me want to come to their rescue and go, hey, I appreciate you taking responsibility, but don't beat yourself
up. That's
right. There were several things that happened here that were outside your control. We'll do that better next time. Versus somebody that's coming in who's leading with the excuses.
That's right.
As a leader, you want to go, get out of here.
Yeah.
Come on. It's a completely different set of emotions, because when you know someone's taking personal responsibility, then it's easy to kind of come alongside them, put your arm around their shoulder and go, hey, it's all right. We had a tough month. Let's go back and get it next month. We're going to be fine. And that delineation between those two mindsets really does make or break somebody's career.
It's the spirit of it. It's the spirit that I'm willing to be accountable. I messed up. You know it. I know it. I'm going to lay it out there. And now you as a leader, what can you do? You can do just what you talked about. And that's wrap your arms around them and help them. I got a chance to see Dave do this firsthand earlier at an event. I had someone drop the ball on something, and they said, Dave, it's my fault. And Dave said, without blinking, he said, it's not about blame. It's about having a process. We need a process so it doesn't happen again. And so it truly is who we are.
Right.
It's what we're about. And I think you could see the individual that had made the error, they all of a sudden felt empowered because they didn't. We didn't shoot our wounded. Mm-hmm. We didn't have to, you know, go and belittle them anymore. It was a matter of, hey, let's just make sure we have a process so it doesn't happen again. Because the person he was talking to was truly a go-getter.
And that person had already acknowledged that they were responsible. So that lesson didn't have to be taught about personal responsibility, clearly.
Yes.
And that statement, that admission of fault says to the leader, hey, this person's responsible.
Yes.
And they're taking responsibility.
Let me ask you this, Daniel. Can a go-getter, now if you've got a team of them, those are some alpha personalities. These are people. Can that be dangerous for a leader?
It's a danger that I think is worth embracing. I would rather be dangerous than be safe in this particular area.
Okay.
The danger is people's toes get stepped on. There's a little bit of chaos. People go and take action before they have all the strategy and the plan laid out in a way that it's all going to kind of work together like a nice jigsaw puzzle and all the pieces fit. That's a danger that I've lived with our team for a while, and we err on the side of action. And what ends up happening is we make messes, and it's a lot easier to clean up those messes than to compensate for the lack of results.
I like that. Err on the side of action.
We get better at refining our strategy. We get better at refining the plan on the front end. We get better at hitting the budget perfectly every month. But if we just stand still and we map it all out and none of us are a go-getter and we're just going to kind of brainstorm and put it on the wall and then do that month after month after month and then never go out and tackle stuff and knock stuff down in the marketplace and cause things to shift, if we don't do that, then we don't stay open long enough to figure out where our go-getters are. So I'd rather have a room full of go-getters and help calm everybody down over time through maturity than to have a room full of people who aren't going to take responsibility and who aren't going to run out on the field and make stuff happen.
I like that. Now, say you were talking to our leaders out there that are up and coming and they're working in a company and maybe the go-getter mentality isn't embraced. You know, maybe that's something they're called bucking the system. What advice would you give to that leader out there that is feeling frustrated because they're not able to run at 100 miles an hour?
What I'd love to say is there's a way to make people who are not go-getters become go-getters. But I haven't experienced that. And so the only way that I know to really shift the culture, you can do some small things. Certainly you can have everybody read the book and you can start coaching people on how to be a go-getter. But you can't coach motivate. I mean, you can't cause somebody who's not motivated to be motivated. They have to be motivated themselves. That has to come from within. It's a value system. And you can force everybody to kind of put that mask on, and you may get some short-term results, but true personal behavior change starts inside of somebody, and they have to own that. And so the only thing that I've seen really shift the culture where there wasn't a lot of go-getters and you wanted to have some go-getters is get somebody from the outside who is a go-getter and bring them in. And the people who have that capacity within them will step up to the challenge because they don't want to be left behind. Now there's a new pace setter. Now
that's
there's
right.
There's somebody who's kind of set a new standard, and they're revealing that there's this gap in results between what the team has been doing and then actually what is possible. And so they come in, they defy status quo, and that creates some discomfort. And that discomfort will do one of two things. It will either cause somebody to step up and they'll run faster, or it'll cause them to realize they need to step out.
Yes.
And over time, when you do that and you just set that expectation that the results are, this is an expectation in our environment, the results have to be there, and you've got a pace setter you can point to and go, look, it's possible because this guy's doing it over here. This girl's knocking out of the park over here. You know, I know you said you can't make more than 20 phone calls a day and you're in sales, but this guy came in, he's the new guy, he's making 100 phone calls a day. Help me explain the 80.
Mm.
Well, then you've got somebody that you can reference off of, and that helps you shift the culture in that direction.
No, and so what I hear you saying is that to the owners out there, you want to make sure you're recruiting and hiring much better than what you have. You know, bring in that new pace setter. And so, yes, it's going to take time. Now, Daniel, let me ask you, are go-getters high maintenance?
Not really.
Okay.
They're going to challenge status quo. And so if you're sanctioning status quo, then yeah, they're going to be high maintenance because they're always going to be ruffling your feathers because you're just trying to keep everything kind of packaged and bundled up in this nice, neat little thing that you can control.
Mm.
And if that's all you're going for and you just want kind of average results and really predictable, safe kind of, you know, steadiness, that I guess that would make it uncomfortable. Wow. If you had to go get her around. But if you really want to rock the business and take it to another level and have double digit growth year over year and all, I mean, you got to have a go getter. There's no other way to do it.
Well, and leaders, for you out there, what I want you to know, if you're recruiting and trying to hire a go getter, you need to make sure you're one as well, you know, because you're the pace setter.
Well,
and
if you're not, they'll be gone in a couple of weeks, because a true go getter will not put up with an incompetent leader. And if they are experiencing you throttling back their results because of your lack of leadership and your lack of hustle, they're going to be out of there in a nanosecond.
Wow. So I could spend all that time recruiting, all that time training, only to have that individual leave me if I don't have the right kind of atmosphere.
Chris, absolutely. And that's in entree leadership. That's why we say everything starts in leadership with personal behavior change. Your team is only going to be as effective as you are. And how much you are dedicated to personally growing yourself and becoming more and hustling more and becoming more of a go-getter and personal responsibility, all of that starts with you as the leader. And to the degree that you don't do that, your team will not be doing that as a part of following your example. And somebody that comes in where it doesn't reconcile with that, they're already ahead of you on that. They're not going to put up with it for very long. Hmm. And so that's mandatory as a leader, that you're pursuing that personal growth and doing it in a way that sets the standard, and then everybody's going to follow behind.
Now, I'm going to tell you leaders that have been listening to the podcast, one of the things I want to emphasize during this period of leaders or readers is that you can read all day, but Daniel just mentioned something, the personal behavior change. So that is, no matter what you read, until you start to apply it, then nothing is going to change. And so I really want to encourage you to begin to do that. Begin to take personal accountability. Be responsible, but be a go-getter. Now, Daniel, this guy had an opportunity to make a lot of excuses when he was chasing the blue vase. Okay? I mean, they had changed the information on him on purpose to challenge him. You know, challenges are going to happen. Mm-hmm. So as a go-getter, how do I deal with them? What do I do? What's the first step I should take when a challenge or an obstacle comes my way?
Well, I think your first challenge, let's say you're not the leader and you work in an environment where there's not a lot of go-getters, but you decide you want to step up. As soon as you do, your peer group is going to be cynical. They're going to make fun of you. They're going to say, you know, are you the teacher's pet? What's your deal?
Wait a minute. You're telling me when I step my game up that I'm going to get ridiculed?
Well, yeah, because you're making your peers uncomfortable, because you're not one of the guys anymore.
Oh.
You know, you're trying to get ahead and they want to drag you back in because it makes them feel like
the crab in the bucket.
Exactly. So they're not exposed when they can keep you kind of one of the guys. But you want to step up and lead. You want to step up and be a go-getter. You're going to experience some discomfort right out of the gate from your peer group.
Wow.
And so I think the first thing you got to do is ask, why am I working? Why am I stepping up? Am I here to work for the approval of my peers, or do I have a higher purpose? My family, my values, the goals I want to achieve, the financial things that I want to accomplish, who I want to become. I want to be capable of more than I am today. If you truly desire all of that, then you've got to anchor your significance in that destination. If you've anchored your significance in your peer group, then you're going to rise and fall on the approval of your peer group. And as soon as they don't approve of you, you're going to water yourself right back down to where they're at. And so you have to be anchored to something that's stronger than these extracurricular kind of outside forces that you're going to interact with day in and day out.
You know, and that brings to mind one of the statements I use as I travel the country doing speaking engagements. When I'm talking to leaders, I ask them a question. I said, listen, you have to make a decision. Do you want to be popular or do you want to be effective? Mm. And I think that's what you just hit the nail on the head with, was we have to make that decision. Because if you're choosing to be popular, then you're not going to rock the boat. You're going to do everything so everyone likes you. Everyone thinks highly of you. But when you choose to be effective, now you're going down the road of results, because you do have that accountability to your family, to your position. And so that it's a difference changer. So I want to tell the listeners out there, you make the decision. Do you want to be popular or effective? Because if you want to be effective, the things in the books that we're talking about in this series, you're going to begin to apply it into your life, and you're going to be able to see those results.
Chris, how do you do that? Because it's natural for everybody to want to be liked and to be validated by the people that they work with. And even as a leader, your team at least needs to respect you. And so some of the ways that we get our team to respect us is by being personable and being relatable and likable. And so how do you walk that line between when that's good leadership versus when it's being kind of codependent?
Well, I think there's a difference between, you can be a go-getter without having to be an egomaniac. You can be a go-getter without being self-absorbed. And so I think it's your spirit. I think you know the results. And to me, I'm more about the results than I am the accolades. So that's how I'm wired. And everyone's different. But for me, I don't want the accolade. I get the pride in the result of what happens in my job. So it depends on the individual. But I would say don't be egotistical. Don't be self-absorbed. Still be human. You know, still try to get along with people. But at the end of the day, if I'm choosing to be effective versus popular, I'm not really worried if someone doesn't like me. Now, there's another section here in the book, Daniel, I want to shift gears, where they're talking about giving someone a raise. I mean, the guy is clearly being effective, the character in the book, the go-getter. He's being extremely effective. And they're talking about, at some point, we're going to have to give him a raise. And the emeritus owner says, well, if we're going to have to give it to him at the end of the year, let's just give it to him now because he is being effective, which it says a lot about the spirit of this leader for him to be able to acknowledge, hey, let's give people what they're due. Let's that it'll be a source of encouragement for them instead of holding them back.
One of the biggest mistakes we've seen business owners make in compensation and recognition is they wait too long to reward people from the time the behavior that they liked and wanted to applaud, from the time that happens to the time that they actually congratulate, whether it's a handshake or whether it's a bonus or whatever, right? I mean, there's lots of different ways to do recognition. We have a whole lesson on that that you teach. But if you wait too long and you get too far away from the activity that's being done, then you lose all of the potency.
That's right.
Of that recognition. And so, man, if you've got somebody that's knocking it down, pour it on right then. I mean, 2 seconds later, they get the result and bam, you're right there. And you don't even have to wait. It doesn't even have to be that big.
That's right.
But if you'll do it quick and respond quick, that's what we call catching people doing things right.
That's right. And I was just thinking that. And in order to catch someone doing something right, you're going to have to be near where they are. You're going to have to be involved. And so a go-getter doesn't sit still. So I'm going to tell you right now, if you get one on your team or you have some on your team, you better tie up your shoes. You better get ready because they're focused on results. And for me, this guy, I love the spirit of the character in the book. He's got it seems like to me, an internal optimistic attitude. And he's decided to win, Daniel. That's the best way I know how to put it. He's decided to win before he even starts. And I think that's half the battle for us.
I think it's a daily decision. You know, it'd be nice if we could just make that decision and then ride the wave of that decision over several months. But every day we get out of bed and there's reasons to be discouraged and there's reasons to be hopeful. And we got to make that choice every morning.
This guy was told no more times than I can count in the book. The way he got the job, he went through two no's to get the job. As humans, we don't want to be rejected. Nobody wants to be told no. But to me, go-getters are people that are thick-skinned, which they hear no, and you know what they think? They think not yet. Why are we as humans, why does the word no bother us so much?
Well, yeah, I mean, we don't like rejection. And I would say a go-getter, their skin may not be any thicker. They put more stock and equity in what's possible than what's pushing them down. You know, they take the hard blows like anybody else, but they get up quicker because their focus is on what's possible to go gain, what's possible to get, what can we achieve, you know, when we keep our eye on the prize. And so, you know, I think the no that we get and the no's that hold us back and the threat of a no, I mean, sometimes we get trapped in our own thoughts in our mind of just the fear of rejection keeps us from ever asking to begin with or pushing further than maybe we're comfortable pushing with. And so the no, you have to frame it up that way. You have to go, hey, every no I get, I'm just that much closer to a yes, because that's just how life works. Life rewards the guys and the girls who push through and get the most no's. And when you push through that, there's a yes at the end of that line.
Well, and I like that analogy. So for the people listening out there, it is train yourself to hear no, but when you hear no, think in your mind either not yet, or that I'm working my way to my next yes. And I think the more resilient you can be to dealing with no's, the better off you're going to be. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. When I first started off in sales and I got told no, and this was a pretty good sized deal, you know, I was crushed. You know, I thought, okay, dude, I mean, maybe I can't do this. And that was the total wrong way to go. And I'm glad I had a mentor. My mentor told me, no, that person wasn't ready yet. So what you have to do is if you go in the rut and you go down in the dumps, now it's going to take you how long to pick yourself back up so you can give 100% at this next opportunity. And so I want to encourage everyone out there, be prepared for the no's. They're going to come. But I also want you to understand that dealing with those no's help you revel and help you enjoy the yeses all the better.
Well, Chris, we see this in the book, and this has kind of been a theme with all of the books that we've been talking about this month, and Who Moved My Cheese and The Go-Getter and QBQ. The whole thing here is that when the circumstances are hard, or when the circumstances were easy but then they change, you get a no. You get rejected. It's harder than you thought it was going to be when you set out initially. All those things are opportunities to change your behavior. And in your changing of behavior, you get stronger. You become capable of more. When you have to lift more weight, your muscle grows and gets stronger. And so that's how life causes strength to rise up, right? And that's the way that it works. And so at those milestones, when you've got the opportunities to feel rejected or to feel like this is a setback, if you see it as that, then you'll stall and you'll stay right there. That's going to be the end of your road, because your muscle isn't strong enough to go further than that point. And so that's really kind of what I think about it. You know, anytime you get rejection, anytime you have a bad month or a bad year or a bad relationship or a bad experience with a customer or a boss or this is life. And this is life telling you, here's a chance to step up. Here's a chance to grow. Here's a chance to become more. And here's a chance to change your behavior. What behavior do you need to change so that you can get around this obstacle? Because the behavior that you have right now, the belief system that you have right now, the mindset that you have right now isn't enough. You have to become more so that you can achieve more.
Yes, I would agree with you. And I was saying, you know, the number one obstacle that I have every morning is the person staring back in the mirror at me. And that if I can get that person in the mirror on the same page with my heart and my spirit, then there is not a lot of things I can't do. And I think that's the number one hurdle. And all these books, there's that common theme of dealing with change. The cheese got moved, you know, changing your responsibility words to not worrying about them, but focusing on yourself and your responses. And I think it's a challenge for us that as leaders, if we are going to get better, if we are going to raise the bar, then we have to be willing to do what it takes, not make excuses, to stay focused, and to make sure that we're doing everything in our power to move forward. And I think that's critical for success.
I was interviewing somebody yesterday who I'm talking to him about joining our team. And they said, what's an attribute or what's a character quality that you really value when you're looking to hire somebody? And I said, it's teachability. If you're willing to learn, you've got a long future here and long future anywhere. And I've seen this at work in our team. I've seen it with Dave. The people who have excelled in their relationship with Dave and have earned Dave's respect, people like you and other leaders around the building who Dave just goes, man, this is a rock star. The consistent theme with those people is that when there's an opportunity for a problem and they're having that conversation with Dave, those people who have stepped up and who have become leaders and become respected in our organization consistently come in and say, Dave, what would we do different? What can I learn? What could I do different here? If you were me, knowing what you know, how would you have done this? I'm responsible and I need to learn. Apparently I don't know enough and you probably know something that I need to know. So what do I need to learn so I don't screw this up again? And every single time when a leader hears a team member saying that, he goes, they're teachable. That's they want right. to learn. We don't want perfection from our team. We just want another willing to learn and become more next month than they were this month, right? And when we have that, we can grow. That's where growth occurs. And that growth in our team results in growth in the business, growth in the marketplace, growth for our customers, and everybody wins as a result. And it all ties back to teachability.
I totally agree. Daniel, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure, man. Thanks
for
having
me. Again, we have been talking about the book, The Go-Getter, by Peter Kine. Incredible book. It's a quick read. It is an enjoyable read. I've read this book about 6 times, and I went back through and was making more notes in the margin. And so I would encourage you definitely to pick this book up, give it a read, and to make sure that you keep growing yourself. So, Daniel, I know with EntreeLeadership.com, you have a lot of things going on. Can you tell the listeners some of the things you have going at this point in time?
Yeah. So this month we're talking about this theme of how leaders are readers. And we've got these four books that we're talking about. We're debuting one and kind of highlighting one on each podcast this month. But then on EntreeLeadership.com, we have extended articles, as well as our coaching team is taking each book and kind of breaking down the book in our e-coaching sessions every Friday for our All Access members. Also, each of our All Access members this month that are signing up this month are getting a copy of each of these books. And so if you want to sign up for All Access, not only do you get these books this month, but also the entire Entree Leadership Master Series video library. That's the whole thing where Dave teaches the whole week of Entree Leadership Master Series.
See, Daniel,
on
I don't
video.
Think people understand, okay, with that. So they join and they're going to be able to watch Dave teach the lessons. They're getting the information firsthand.
Well, yeah, and we've heard for years, like, people say, I want to come to that event, but I don't have the financial investment. I don't have a week I can take. We just said, how can we take Master Series to people where they are? So you can get all the Master Series at your computer, on your device. It comes to you. And so that's all there. Ongoing coaching with our team. You can email our coaching team and get coaching answers. You can get the e-coaching sessions is basically an online webinar that's interactive every Friday with our coaching team doing Q&A and going deeper dives into these Entree Leadership principles. So we're having a lot of fun with it.
And another thing that I saw, because I'm a member on there, okay, love it. You guys also have mastermind groups.
Everybody that joins All Access, if they choose to, gets plugged into a mastermind group. And this has been one of the most powerful and explosive values that we've heard people saying that I'm just getting so much out of my mastermind. And what that is, once a month, our team facilitates a conference call with you and seven or eight other All Access members. These are other business owners and business leaders who have similar pain points. Maybe they're in a similar industry. Maybe they have the same company size. And so we pair people in groups where they can have a team, a support, almost like a board of advisors who are in the marketplace with them, wrestling through things together, and we facilitate those conversations. And I would say, look, if you never join All Access, build one of those for yourself. Get a support group around you of other business leaders that you respect and some pace setters that are going to make you uncomfortable. They're going to push you. They're going to challenge you to step up. And so that's another part of something we do with All Access. So people can find out more about that if they go to EntreeLeadership.com. And because this month is Leaders Are Readers Month, we are not only giving everybody who signs up this month for All Access all four of the books that we're talking about on the podcast, but also $30 off your membership every month when you use the code READERS when you sign up, READERS. So be sure to do that so you get the discount.
Well, Daniel, thank you for taking the time to join us. It's always a pleasure to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And I want to thank our rock star producer, Don Haney. And now listen, stay plugged into this Entree Leadership stuff. Keep learning and keep leading. And until next time, grow yourself, grow your team, and grow your profits.